I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Today we're going to talk about Be Antibiotics Aware.
Interesting title.
Interesting title. And what is meant by that title?
Well, I didn't come up with that title. It is a title that the CDC put out. They have a major national campaign where they're trying to make people antibiotics aware, also physicians, so that we change our the way that we deal with antibiotics.
And the CDC stands for?
Center of Disease Control.
So they came up with this title.
And they came up with this title. They also work with the World Health Organization, FDA, the entire federal government is trying to change the way that we deal with antibiotics and change the patterns that we how we use it.
So they're spearheading this campaign.
One of the things that they ask physicians to do is to make this aware to the public and to other physicians. So one of the things that we're trying to do with this radio program is to educate people on the proper way to use antibiotics.
Yes, we're going to talk about alternatives to antibiotics also.
Exactly, which is one of the major things that we have to do.
Okay. So why is this important, this, you know, awareness of antibiotics?
According to the World Health Organization and the Center of Disease Control, we are now in a post-antibiotic age. Now, what that means is that we have a tremendous number of bacteria who are no longer that have complete resistance to antibiotics. So when antibiotics came out, it was like a miracle in the healthcare industry. It's really what propelled pharmaceuticals into the limelight and made that the major source of health care, because antibiotics were so successful, because bacterial infections were the number one killer of people. Infections were...
So when was this?
That was back in the 1920s and 1930s was really when that started to really come out. And the antibiotics just changed the whole landscape. We improved them after World War II. It even got better with our antibiotic. And we were into a new age of healthcare. People didn't have to worry about the common type of infections that would kill people. People, you know, scientists have been looking for a long time for a major type of a release on that. And it definitely made a big difference in the life expectancy of the human race. You know, having that availability of antibiotics. And so I consider antibiotics as one of our most precious type of commodities that we have in the modern world. But like a lot of things, we took something that was absolutely fantastic, overused it for, you know, things that we surely shouldn't have. And when we did that, the bacteria are really, really smart and can really reproduce quite quickly. And, you know, in a very short amount of time, they were figuring out how to fight back against the antibiotics.
You're talking about the bacteria.
The bacteria.
That's they.
You know, there is a war going on there. And the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, has pretty well put out there the because of our poor use of antibiotics, the bacteria have won. And so now we are in an age where, again, we can go back to that pre-antibiotic era and would really cut down on life expectancy, would really change the whole ball game. One of the things that normal surgeries, you know, after you do a surgery, get a course of antibiotics so you don't get a post-surgical infection. That actually is not happening nowadays. because oftentimes you can get a post-surgical infection and it can kill you because the bacteria are no longer responding to the antibiotics. So we have a very major problem. It is something that we need to take stock of, rethink of how we do prescriptions, pharmaceutical prescriptions, and then reevaluate. And we feel that we have the answer to this problem. And that's what we're trying to put out there.
So you're saying right now it's the post-antibiotic era.
I'm not actually saying that. That was
the CDC.
Nobody really cares what I say. I'm just a small fish in a very, very big pond. But the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, FDA, you know, everyone that has all those important letters that everybody respects has said that we are in a post-antibiotic age.
It's just so interesting. All these important healthcare organizations are saying that, but we're not hearing it in the public.
No, we're not hearing it on the news. We're not hearing it in the public. Physicians, you know, if I would go up to the majority of physicians and talk about this, they would say, huh? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and one of the things that the CDC has said is, you know, doctors, physicians, you need to get on our site and kind of learn what's going on. We provide education on a regular basis, which I pursue to make sure that I know what's going on, because the unfortunately, the pharmaceutical industry is not putting this information out. And unfortunately, the vast majority of doctors get all their education material from pharmaceutical industry, which is really a poor source of information. And it's a very biased source. It's designed by corporations to sell more pharmaceuticals. And the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, is saying, oh my gosh, this is terrible. We're not doing what we should be doing.
You think they're as frustrated as we are?
They're very frustrated because if you read their site, they say, we're very frustrated.
No, they do.
Because this is not happening. You know, the Surgeon General of the United States has sent out letters to physicians, because I've gotten them, saying, hey, you know, we had the opioid crisis.
Hey?
Yeah, basically he did. He's like, you know, you got to stop the antibiotics. Yeah, we've got to change how we're prescribing. This is not good. And when the Attorney General for Obama left, he sent out a letter and said, okay, you guys didn't listen to me at all. I don't know what more I can do.
Wow.
Physicians need to wake up and sit there and say, I cannot get my education from the pharmaceutical industries because this is not a good source of education. But, you know, when it was just like with the opioid crisis, we had a situation where of the researchers, 98% of them sit there and say, oh, the opioid, you know, what they're saying, how to prescribe on that is going to create an opioid crisis.
And it did.
2% sit there and say, oh, no, this will work out just great. And so guess who got all the money to go out there and lecture and to bring people in was the 2% who was funded by the pharmaceutical industry. Physicians cannot trust, the public cannot trust the pharmaceutical industry. One of the things that they're talking about on the, you know, in the CDC and World Health Organization is sitting there. United States is the only country in the world that allows pharmaceuticals companies to advertise directly to the public. That's crazy. The people don't know what pharmaceuticals but physicians are being pressured in by people coming in and said, hey, I heard this on the TV. I think this will work for me. And physicians want to get to their next patient, and so, okay, all right, let me just write this thing out.
Yeah.
And it's a very terrible way to run our healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the proper type of way that we're supposed to do it. The CDC and the World Health Organization, all the people sit there and say, our philosophy on that is 80% should be structure function care, 20% should be pharmaceutical based. Mm-hmm. They agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the side that has the scientific backing.
Right.
And the way that we're doing it is that antibiotics are the first line of defense. That is not the way that antibiotics are supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm against antibiotics. I'm actually a huge proponent of antibiotics. I love antibiotics. But we are destroying the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm on my podium right now, but I get pretty passionate about it and very frustrated.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about antibiotics. Be antibiotics aware.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Is vitamin A important to prevention of cancer?
Very much so. There are a couple things that vitamin A is very important for. The two biggies is it boosts the immune system, and then it also is very important to epithelial cells. That's like skin cells. That's the lining in all the organs. The most common cancers actually come from that epithelial cells. And also the most dangerous cancers come from epithelial cells. And one of the things is it's been proven that low vitamin A causes a problem with the reproduction of those epithelial cells and leads to a lot of the cancers that actually occur. So one, you're talking about the cell proliferation with low vitamin A, and then also a suppression of the immune system, two of the biggest things that actually kick off cancer. So vitamin A is actually considered the cancer preventative vitamin. Very, very important. So when you're talking about cancer, if you're trying to prevent it, vitamin A is really absolutely essential. And if you are going through treatments with cancer, one of the things that occurs is when you're actually doing chemo, radiation, those types of things, it really destroys vitamin A. So most people's vitamin A drops dramatically when they're going through cancer treatments. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the big things that we do is we help people maintain the health of their system and keep everything up. Part of the things that we see when people are on chemo radiation is all of a sudden, you know, their immune system drops. And then also as their immune system drops, also their liver becomes toxic. If we can get the vitamin A levels up along with a lot of other things, all of a sudden that immune system starts to pop back up. It also helps with anemia because it helps with iron absorption. And then also it really helps to keep the liver functioning, because if you're low on vitamin A, one of the things is that the liver becomes damaged because it's not functioning properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the toxicity levels increase. The three things that we always look in cancer, we always need to make sure that those liver enzymes are balanced and high. We also need to make sure the immune system's working right and that anemia isn't starting to develop. If you can keep those three things up, your chance of survival goes up quite dramatically with cancer. It's part of the things that we do. And then after the people go through cancer, we always try to keep up that so we don't get a reoccurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So any type of a cancer treatment, preventing, during, and then after, vitamin A is very important to watch.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
I feel good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about Be Antibiotics Aware, and it's very understandable, Dr. Prather, that you're very passionate about this, and we're in a post-antibiotic era.
What the CDC says, we're in a crisis. One of the major...
Another healthcare crisis.
A major healthcare crisis. It is just as important as the whole opioid crisis, but we are in another crisis. We've got quite a few crises going on.
Uh-huh. We do. Well, let's talk about an antibiotic. What is an antibiotic?
Antibiotic is a antibacterial. Basically, it's designed to kill bacteria. Now, one of the things that that does is it kills bad bacteria, but it also kills good bacteria. Mm-hmm. And there's an awful lot of good bacteria that we need. Mm-hmm. And antibiotics are very important to get into the system when it's necessary. But if you take them on too often, you set yourself up for more disease than what you would normally have. You can actually get some really big problems by killing off the normal bacteria because you need those to be able to survive. Mm-hmm. So you can set up your system for an awful lot of problems that you aren't counting for if you take too many antibiotics. Antibiotics are really designed to be there for life-threatening bacterial infections. And that's all that they're really for.
Mm-hmm. And when it was invented,
right?
Correct? He was thinking just... in someone's life one or two times
is really all.
They
actually stated, the people who came up with it, is their biggest fear is that people would use them for common type of infections or infections that weren't even bacterial and set up and make the bacteria even more powerful. So that was one of the fear of the people who basically came up with the antibiotics.
And what you fear...
He knew human nature. Mm-hmm. You know, we just overindulge, we overdo, we take good things, and then we make them bad. Mm-hmm. And antibiotics are an amazing gift to humankind and has been totally, totally overused and misused.
So what are bacteria and viruses? We talked about what an antibiotic is.
Well, and that's really important because the majority... like an upper respiratory infection. Mm-hmm. 90% of the time, upper respiratory infections are viral.
90% of the time?
90% of the time, upper respiratory infections are viral. And antibiotics do not work on viral. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, they weaken the immune system. It takes 3 months... let's say a normal supply of antibiotics is a 10-day supply. If you take a 10-day supply, it takes 3 months for your immune system to recover because it weakens your immune system. So antibiotics, if all pharmaceuticals make you sicker, if they didn't make you sicker, then they couldn't be classified as a pharmaceutical. So they weaken the immune system by the very nature. And if you have a viral infection, antibiotics do not work on the viral infection. They don't touch viruses at all. So for only 10% of the time should you be getting a antibiotic for a upper respiratory infection. Unfortunately, for upper respiratory infections, antibiotics is the most commonly prescribed thing. So, you know, very, very poor. Sore throats. You know, when you're talking about a sore throat, again, 90% of the time, it's a viral infection, not a bacterial infection. You're supposed to test. You're supposed to do blood tests to find out. Right. You're supposed to test to see if it's bacterial or viral. 73% of all sore throats are given an antibiotic, and only 10% of them actually should have an antibiotic given. So we are giving an awful lot, and viruses are the most common way, the most common type of infections, not bacterial. Usually because viruses are there for a while. So viruses are usually the first infection, and then you get bacterial infections once your system is actually worn down. So oftentimes, you sit there, you have a viral infection. Let's say you get a sore throat. You take some antibiotics. It weakens. It was all viral in the first place. It weakens your immune system. And then you get a bacterial infection.
Interesting.
Because you've weakened the immune system. So it's a very backwards types of way. And there are ways to treat viral infections. Measles is an upper respiratory infection. Okay, it's viral based. According to the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, the treatment for an upper respiratory measles infection is vitamin A. Vitamin A is extremely effective for that. So vitamin A is a great treatment for a upper respiratory infection. It's very well proven. So don't take an antibiotic, take beta carotene, and you'll have a much higher success rate. There's also a whole slew of natural types of products that should be the first line of defense, and much more proven scientifically to work better.
But it's all being suppressed. Information, or it's there.
It's there.
You can go to it, to the CDC site or World
right.
Health Organization.
You can go to PubMed, and all these things are very well proven. You know, the effectiveness of vitamin C, vitamin A, zinc, several different, a whole slew of herbals are extremely effective and much more effective in viral types of infections instead of antibiotics. And there are an awful lot of natural antibiotics available that should be used first, you know, without going to an antibiotic.
So which infections are caused by virus and shouldn't be treated with antibiotics?
Well, you know, and that's one of the things that should be looked at. Upper respiratory, of course, are the major ones along those lines. Again, 90% of all upper respiratory infections are viral and should not be treated with antibiotics. Flu is completely a viral infection and should be treated not with antibiotics. Sore throats. Matter of fact, majority of infections are not bacterial. Usually, you have to be worn down quite a bit before you get a bacterial infection, as opposed to a viral infection. Matter of fact, you know the strongest antibiotic known to mankind is gold.
And we carry that. Yeah.
Right. Gold, and it's a it doesn't produce antibiotic resistance. So if you're looking for a very interesting thing that they used to do in the ancient days, the reason that gold was so valuable, so if you got a cut and it got infected, they would beat out gold, put it over there, wrap it up, and you would be cured of your the bacterial infection. We've used gold for MRSA infections and had extreme success when none of the antibiotics were actually working. So, you know, there are a tremendous number of alternatives to antibiotics. And again, I'm not opposed to antibiotics. I'm actually very pro-antibiotic. But we need to find, and we are coming to the point that we have no choice. Antibiotics won't be working.
So when a person goes to their doctor, how does the doctor know why, if it's a virus or a bacteria?
You do a blood test. Mm. You do swabs. There are lab tests. And matter of fact, one of the things, the way that you're supposed to use an antibiotic is you're supposed to get a culture of the bacterial. Mm-hmm. And then you're supposed to grow it. Then you're supposed to put the antibiotics on there to find out if it's actually going to work before you give it. There's a whole natural procedure that you're supposed to use for bacterial infections. In the meantime, it's not that you're completely helpless. And that's one of the problems that we have with many of the physicians. Well, you know, they have an infection. I have to give them something. And one of the things that we've done in modern healthcare, we haven't given the physicians the tools to be able to work besides the antibiotics, because they weren't they weren't encouraged to give vitamin A, they weren't encouraged to give vitamin C, they weren't encouraged to give vitamin D. Iodine works on bacterial and viral and fungal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the iodine, gold, silver are all antibiotics. You know, you can help to drain the lymphatic system with echinacea. You can boost the ability of the body to fight viral with olive leaf. There is a whole host of things that can be done. And we have restricted the physicians from doing those types of things, which is called structure function care. Mm-hmm. And then have only allowed them to use harmful pharmaceuticals that only should be used in certain cases. So we've changed the whole course of healthcare, and because of that, we've created a monster. Mm. We are in a healthcare crisis. Nobody doubts that. Mm-hmm. The answer to the healthcare crisis is structure function care. One, it's been proven that we can cut down on the cost of healthcare overall by 65%, by 60%. Mm-hmm. And we've been shown that we can improve through structure function care the outcomes of healthcare by 85%. These are numbers that have been proven, and this has to change. We have to have structure function care as the primary care and the first line of defense. Then we go to the pharmaceuticals afterwards.
Right. The answer is already there.
The answer is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we come back, more on Be Antibiotics Aware.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm wearing new contacts. I just had my prescription changed after 6 years. You ever wait that long? Then you get new lenses. You're like, man, I could have been seeing things. How can instantly improved vision not be at the top of your to-do list? I'll see tomorrow. I don't have time. I don't have time to see clearly. No, I don't. I don't. No, I can't do that. You see what's on my desk?
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row, and we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Today we're talking about be antibiotics aware. And when we were on break, I was saying, well, what do you think Eli Lilly would think of this?
Yes, and actually Eli Lilly would be one of the biggest ones jumping up and down about this.
Uh-huh.
He was a huge advocate for natural health care. He was actually a homeopath and was a big herbalist. And Eli Lilly, one of their top products when they were around, was a herbal
when
formula.
When he was around?
Yeah. Yeah, it was an herbal formula for detoxification of the liver that they had gotten from the Indians. So Eli Lilly, they came up to reporters came up to Eli Lilly, and they sit there and they said, you know, sir, what about these reported side effects from the pharmaceuticals? What do you have to say about that? And he sits there and he says, well, Sully, if it didn't have side effects, it wouldn't be called a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have negative effects to actually be classified as a pharmaceutical. So just to let you know, I've never taken a pharmaceutical in my life because I haven't had to, and I don't ever plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I do is I take care of my health, and I take care of it with homeopathics, supplements, and herbals. So Eli Lilly was one of the biggest proponents for structure function care. He was a very, very intelligent man, one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at pharmaceuticals as something that would be more of the last line of defense, knew their value,
mm-hmm.
Knew their place, but also knew their negatives. And that's where we really need to get back to. You know, when you're talking about big corporations are not governed by people. They're governed by profit.
Mm.
And we can't really trust them. It should be the researchers and the scientists who really look at things, know what's going on, and we need to have reasonable patterns of what we're doing, not based on profit. Mm-hmm. But based on what the public needs.
Mm. So we were talking about what infections, you know, are caused by virus and shouldn't be treated with antibiotics. What is antibiotic resistant?
Well, what happens is bacteria after being exposed. There's billions of bacteria. And so they get hit with an antibiotic. And let's say just two or three actually survive the attack. Well, those two and three pretty quickly becomes a billion again, because they can just reproduce. They can produce a million offspring in a couple of seconds. So there is just an ability for bacteria just to change. And then one of the interesting thing is when you're talking about bacteria and viruses, is they will share genetic material. So let's say only one bacteria really was able to survive an attack. And it has a way of dealing with it. Guess what? All the other bacteria it's going to share with it.
Mm.
Even ones of different kinds. So there's genetic jumping between bacteria, so they'll figure that out. So a lot of an example would be that antibiotic bonds to the cell wall of a bacteria, and there's a genetic shift in one of them that doesn't allow it to happen. Well, it's going to share it with the others. Or the antibiotic actually goes into the cell and was going to poison it, and it has a way of pumping it out real quickly. That will actually share with all the other bacteria that genetic ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it can change that and happen very, very quickly. One of the things that we do is we do cultures on different types of bacteria, and we can actually test on that for gut bacteria to see the resistance that's going on. And we see that most of the people have gut resistance within their bacteria sometimes all the different antibiotics that are available.
Mm.
So we see antibiotic resistance on a regular basis. And a matter of fact, there's 400,000 antibiotic-resistant infections in the United States every year.
400,000
a year antibiotic resistant infections. And at least, and I think it's really underreported, 23,000 people die a year from antibiotic resistant infections.
23,000. And you think that number's low?
I think that number's actually low. As a matter of fact, it wasn't I who said that, but the CDC says, I think that number's not low. Mm-hmm. That's how many we have reported, but
they
we think
that too.
Yeah, no, yeah. Who cares what I say?
Well, hopefully somebody listens.
Yeah, right. But the Center of Disease Control says that.
Uh huh. So why are bacteria becoming resistant to antibiotics?
We're overusing it. You know, we spend $10.7 billion on antibiotics a year. We have 30 million tons of antibiotics sold in the United States every year.
30 million tons.
Mm-hmm. 25 million tons goes to animals. So let's say you have never, I've never taken an antibiotic in my life, I personally.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I have gotten huge amount of antibiotics into my system. So as I...
From, if you eat...
Eat meat from animals. We are pouring the livestock, the poultry. They put tons and tons of antibiotics into the feed for animals, and we get that. So even if you don't take antibiotics, because what we're doing with all this, we've got 5 million tons going to humans. We've got 25 million tons going into animals.
Why?
There are a couple things. One, we don't really raise our animals in healthy environments. So what they do is they put in a whole bunch of antibiotics into the system, into the feed, so that they can prevent, completely as a prevention, because we're not taking care of our animals in a healthy type of way. If you had to live like they would, you'd probably get sick and die too. So, you know, one, we have a very poor system on how we raise our animals. Two, it also makes the animals swell up. So when you go to sell your cattle, because you put antibiotics into their feed, they swell, so you get an extra 20, 30 pounds on them that you normally wouldn't. And so you make more money that way. It's
so does
not
that mean
make healthy
humans
animals.
Take antibiotics, we swell?
Yes. It actually, antibiotics, one of the things is antibiotics swell up and actually put weight on people. Because it's a toxin and people store toxins in fat cells. So, yes, antibiotics actually cause the same thing with humans, too. So we are getting antibiotics even if we're not taking them, even if we're using them properly. Because of our feed system, we have that going on. And then people are taking way too many antibiotics. Really, 80 to 90% of all antibiotic use is not necessary.
Wow, 80 to 90%.
Right, is not necessary. So, one, we have a huge amount of antibiotics. We have people for every man, woman, and child on just the antibiotics that are prescribed to human beings gets 10 teaspoons a year of antibiotics into their system just from the prescriptions. Pharmaceutical
so someone
prescriptions.
Got your 10 teaspoons.
But I, you know, I did a stool kit on myself, and I showed up that a lot of the bacteria in my gut actually have antibiotic resistance. So even though I've never
been
taken,
on an antibiotic,
but I've eaten meat that had been full of antibiotics. So they got an antibiotic resistance.
Wow. And that's why, because you do these cultures
right
on patients, and you see that all the time.
We see that all the time. So we know that there's an awful lot of antibiotic resistance going on, and it is a huge type of a problem. You know, there I mean, we have, actually, the number is 2 million antibiotic-resistant infections, 400,000 gut infections, from antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Oh.
But so 2 million antibiotic resistance infections a year that are actually occurring in people, and at least 23,000 have die in a year.
So how do bacteria become resistant to antibiotics?
Well, it's just that oversupply along those lines, and then they have all the different mechanisms of trying to build that ability up. You know, it's just it's a matter of constant exposure, and then finding out what is the best way to actually fight against that. So because we have overexposed them, they have been able to build up that resistance. They're able to change their cell walls. They're able to change how they actually get rid of that. They have antibacterial bacterials. you know, there is a whole host of ways that they're actually able to do that.
Wow, our bodies are just amazing.
And the bacteria are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're talking about, you know, there are different ways of approaching health. You know, we have the structure function way of doing it.
That's what we do at the Prather Practice.
And then we have the disease care model. Mm-hmm. Disease care model for a bacterial infection, what you do is you have something that comes in and kills it. So you have the resistance of the bacteria, you know, and are you able to overcome the bacteria? Or you can actually build up the strength of the person, build up their defenses.
Their immune system.
Their immune system. The cell walls, the strength of their cell walls has a lot of to do with that. So you have two ways of doing it. With structure function care, we don't really concentrate on the infection. What we do is we concentrate on making the person's ability to fight infections stronger. Disease care model always weakens the body's ability to fight infection. So antibiotics make you weaker on your immune system. All pharmaceuticals weaken your immune system. So if you are on pharmaceuticals, it will weaken your immune system. So what you do is you try to build up your immune system, and then you're able to fight the infections.
Okay, we come back. More on Be Antibiotics Aware.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, you talk a lot about structure function care and disease care. What is the difference between the two?
When you're talking about disease care, you're usually talking about an interference in the body's normal mechanisms. There is a time for that. When the body is actually in a process of free fall, is a good way to kind of put it, where the body is no longer making sense of what it's doing. And we're on a pattern that it will actually crash. Then you need some interference. And the best way to actually do that is through pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are classified as poisons. They actually take the body further away from homeostasis, which I'll define here in a second.
Mm-hmm.
But at those times, that is actually necessary. So when the body is in a crisis and is no longer able to heal itself, that's when disease care is actually critical. That's where you actually utilize the pharmaceuticals and the surgical methods. What we're usually involved with is in structure function. And as opposed to a disease care, it's health care. Everything that you use in a structure function standpoint is something to bring the body back into homeostasis, which is balance.
Okay.
Dr. Guyton talked about homeostasis as the definition of health. If the body can maintain homeostasis, where it's in a perfect balance with all the different types of things that are coming in that are interfering with its function, that is the perfect state of health. And that's based on a balance of the physiology functional and upon the structure portion of the structure function.
Well, you talk about the body as the hero. What do you mean by that?
Body has a self-healing mechanism to it that can just make all sorts of corrections if we can just get out of its way. The whole idea behind healthcare is to provide the impetus, the needs, and the basis of what it will take to actually get the body well. So finding out where it's off, doing the proper diagnostics, and then making the proper type of adjustments into the care will actually result in the healing and the position that the body should actually be in.
Well, find out how structure function care can impact your life.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about Be Antibiotics Aware, Part 1. We've just decided we have so much material, we're going to have to do a two-part series. So make sure to catch the following week.
And one of the biggest things I want to talk about is children.
Children
and antibiotics, that's really important because antibiotics are much more dangerous for children than they are adults.
We're going to talk about that next week. And alternatives to antibiotics, we'll really focus on that in part two. But let's talk, how should I use antibiotics to protect myself, you know, someone listening out there in my community from antibiotic resistance?
Well, what the Center of Disease Control always has said, that when you go into your doctor's appointment and they start to write you a prescription for antibiotic, have them stop and say, is this antibiotic actually necessary? Mm-hmm. Are there other alternatives that I could do to avoid an antibiotic? In that is one of the things that, as oftentimes, the doctor will be kind of relieved because they're so used to people sitting there and demanding it that they will go, oh, great. Matter of fact, I've had many physicians sit there and say, one of their frustrations is that how people have demanded different types of drugs and really have tried to resist it. But saying, hey, what is alternatives? Also, educating yourself. Many physicians haven't been trained to alternatives to antibiotics.
Right.
So having an awareness along those lines of what can I do personally to avoid an antibiotic. And one of the things that we'll talk about is list and go through all the different types of things that you can do as alternatives in case you're not aware. So we'll be doing that the next session on the part two. But one of the things is really having a structure function doctor as one of your physicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your physicians who you go to for your primary care, but really having a structure function doctor as your primary care is really one of the best things. So if you are listening to this radio program and you are inclined towards the structure function, more of the holistic, natural way of doing it, looking for a structure function doctor would be a very smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really taking the power into your own hands, being very aware of what's going on and how to work with that. What are the things? And then just saying, hey, before you write that antibiotic prescription, is that absolutely necessary, or is that something that I can probably postpone or try all their alternatives first?
Mm-hmm.
And then, being taking care of yourself too, being aware of actually getting the proper sleep, eating right, avoiding sugar, all those types of things is always a good way. Prevention is always the best way before you get an infection. And then if you do have an infection, finding that alternative to that antibiotic.
Mm-hmm. And I know most people that come into our office, if they needed it, would be given an antibiotic.
Yes.
But
we do prescribe antibiotics. It's rare.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definite times that we've found. Now, one of the things is we have ways of working with that. So we know how to enhance the effectiveness of antibiotics and then cut down on the side effects that are also associated with antibiotics.
Mm.
So there are, if you do take an antibiotic, how do you work with that antibiotic so that it's more effective, first off? Two, how do I negate any of the negative side effects that could occur if I am taking this antibiotic? And those are always things that should be explored as you are going through that.
So how can healthcare professionals help prevent the spread of antibiotic resistance?
Again, one of the things that we've seen is that healthcare professionals, physicians, especially the younger physicians, are being taught, hey, try to do an alternative to the antibiotic. Mm-hmm. Don't just prescribe an antibiotic. And that is one thing that I've seen quite a bit. And again, there's a lot of frustration on the physician's part that they are being demanded that they provide antibiotics when they know that it's not necessary. That's a viral infection. I had just this last week, I had two patients came in, and they came in to me and they said, you know, I've got an infection. I went to my primary care physician and he says, I don't feel this is bacterial. I'm not going to prescribe anything to you. And they sat there and they said, fine, you know, I'm going to go to, my holistic doctor and get something for that. And the guy said, oh, great, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what, you know, wow, what a relief. You're not going to fight me over this.
Yeah.
You know, great. Definitely go there. Let me know, you know, what they told you to do. And then we can take it from there and work together on this.
Mm.
So,
that's
what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So we're having patients who've been in, had that checked, doctor agrees, hey, this isn't an antibiotic situation. Go to your structure function-based care physician and get some things for this and get this under control.
That's encouraging. Yeah,
and
it's starting.
Interestingly enough, you know, we got them on some products. We did we can do an acupuncture, we do an adjustment, which all helps.
Mm-hmm.
We did some diathermy on them. And before they left the office, they said, wow, you know, I'm already better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can already tell the difference. This worked a whole lot quicker than an antibiotic would have. It probably would have made me worse. And I said, absolutely. The antibiotic would have been absolutely the worst thing you could have done.
Mm-hmm. So we have 1 minute left.
Yes.
What role does structure function care play in the future?
It has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're talking about a huge amount of suffering and death that mm-hmm. will occur. So structure function is absolutely necessary to be able to handle this situation. If we don't implement it in a massive type of a way, we're talking about a lot of suffering on people's part.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather.
Thank you, Lisa.
And, you know, we talked about Be Antibiotics Aware Part 1, and next week we'll do Part 2, talk more about alternatives to antibiotics and children and antibiotics.
Children are one of the most important aspects.
Okay. Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.